Hello and welcome back to the Sunday Podcast. I'm Ollie Lum and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Matt Seddon. On this 11th episode, we spoke to British indoor and outdoor 1500 metre champ, George Mills.
Today we've got George on, PBs of 147 in the 800 and 336 in the 1500. We're here speaking to him about his current training camp in Dubai, what it's like to train and be a part of the Phoenix Track Club, and also his plans for 2021. Enjoy.
Right, hi then, George. Welcome to the podcast. Got you and Matt both in Dubai right now. First of all, just wanted to kind of get to know how's it going out there, and what's really the purpose of the trip to start off with.
First, yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. To be honest, yeah, it was a last minute booking to get to Dubai. We were meant to go to Poch, but that got cancelled, and then a couple of days later, just before the UK got put into lockdown, me and the group decided that we'd fly out here for 2 weeks, get some nice weather, and try get a nice shift on from training.
Yeah, decent stuff. I think on those kind of training camps, because you mentioned like there you were kind of going to go to Poch as well. How important are they for you specifically, and I guess athletes in general, especially at this time of the year?
Yeah, so this is actually my second camp. I did Dahlstrom in 2019 for a month, which was altitude, and this is pretty much my first warm weather camp with the group. So it's interesting learning experience, but personally I think the body just works so much better when it's warm. Like back home it's -2 degrees, whatever, snowing sometimes, and it's tough to really do the high quality stuff. But yeah, out here that's really what we're pushing for, and it's prepping for indoors. If that goes ahead, then we'll be ready, but yeah, we'll see about that one.
Yeah, decent. When are you due back?
We're due to fly back on the 26th at the moment. Okay. And then get a couple of races in before British indoors.
Yeah,
but at the moment everything's a little bit up in the air, I think, so we're being open with it and seeing how things play out. We may extend if things change, so yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, for sure.
For the listeners out there, touch on a little bit almost like a week at training camp, how it differs to at home. I know it won't differ too much, yeah. But you know, talk about the facilities a little bit here out in Dubai.
So it's pretty much similar. We do pretty much the same stuff wherever we are. It's far from a holiday, what a lot of people are out in Dubai for, seeing the track, the gym and the hotel room, pretty much. That's kind of the athlete life. But yeah, so usually we have a couple of track sessions. That's usually Tuesday, Saturday, tempo session on Thursdays, which is just done today. And then around that's easy days, gym work and various bits and pieces to do with that. So we're training British Athletics. We're very lucky to be training out of the NAS sports facility. So there's some unreal recovery facilities and gym facilities there. So we've been able to use the cryotherapy, hot and cold pools. They've got a magnesium bath as well. So yeah, it's really good for that side of things. And we feel very lucky to be able to be using it.
Yeah,
mate, I'll back him up on that. If you follow George on Insta as well, you'll see like snippets of the facilities and stuff, the tracks, the, like he says, the Cairo, the different plunge pools and stuff like that. How's that helping? Because I know you said even yesterday you did like a little bit, almost like a threshold work as well.
Sessions.
Are you getting a little bit more quality in because you can find you're recovering a bit better?
Yeah, so Monday, last week we had a track session Sunday, easy day Monday, then a track session Tuesday.
Yeah.
And for example, Monday night, I hopped in the cryo with Bosworth. Got a quick one, 2 minutes at a -112, which was bloody freezing. Yeah, so and to be honest, the next day had probably one of my best sessions and had a really good workout with Elliot and Kyle. So yeah, we can't complain about that, and it's definitely helping that side of things.
Yeah, definitely. Just just go back to, you kind of mentioned about how obviously things are very up in the air at the moment, and I guess for people listening who might not kind of understand from a training perspective, maybe how difficult is it to kind of plan your training when you don't really know what races are coming up? Because for most people, I guess, like if there's no races, you'll just be doing almost a base period for an extended period of time. But when you kind of got races that may or may not happen, how has it been kind of balancing whether you get really sharp or whether you just continue grinding out some miles and a bit of longer reps?
So I think obviously that's what John and Dan do. They're the coaches. They're the ones who set the main program and periodize everything like that. We have a little bit of input, but that's pretty much all down to them, and they do a really good job of that. So at the moment, we're still in the prep phase for indoors, so we're starting to move a little bit quicker to get that sort of stimulus. Still keeping the volume there, purely because you don't want to peak for indoors. It's all about the summer and seeing what we can do when we get to there. So yeah, we're in a normal training phase for what we would be in a normal year, to be honest. And I think the key thing for athletes is just to stay flexible and be prepared that your plans can change within days.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I think it really is key, given you have training camps booked and you're changing it.
Yeah, exactly.
Last minute.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. And also, I think obviously we've been lucky that we actually had to deal with it in a worst case back throughout last year. So it's not like it's something new. I think last time it was probably more difficult, and but we had to deal with it from March to July, and then again in November. So it's almost you just switch back to your lockdown routine as such when it does come to that, and you just get your head down and keep working.
Well, it's like last time there was so much unknown. It was like, geez, can you travel? You know, can you do this? And there was so much unknown, people were so uncertain. But the travel out here was fairly smooth, wasn't it?
It was super easy. I think we're all having regular COVID tests, aren't we?
And
had to have one before you fly. You have one when you land, and we have them weekly out here. But yeah, so it's a very safe, secure environment. And if you're sensible and that sort of thing, not doing a lot of socializing, going out where COVID is going to be, then yeah, things should be going all right.
No, you're getting temperature checks every morning, aren't you? Yeah. When you're going to the facilities. So yeah, they're looking after us out here.
Good stuff. So that's where you are right now. Can we just rewind, and if you can tell us how you got into running in the first place, really?
So yeah, it was a weird one. I kind of fell into running a little bit. As you guys can probably guess, I wanted to be a footballer pretty much my whole childhood, that sort of thing. And then got to about 14, 15, kind of realized that was never going to happen, purely because I just wasn't good enough. And that's totally normal. Like, there's hardly any kids that make it in that version of that sport, whatever. But then kind of just ended up doing a few cross-country races, a few athletics races at school, and kind of things just began to snowball from there, with making for my first English schools teams and then trying to make the final. Then when I got to under 17, I was like, okay, I want to try and win that, fortunately. And then again, snowballed from then on, went to Europe, went to the Commonwealth Youth Games when I was 16, and then the next year got my first youth GB vest and won Euro under 18s. So in the space of three, four years, it kind of went from not having a clue that running was even an option as some sort of career to performing at a fairly high level in the youth ranks.
Would you go down your local club or?
Yeah, just I went. To, yeah, so I it probably started with school, like joining the cross country club and then doing area county races and that sort of thing, and then joined the local club and then got a decent coach there.
Yeah.
And started to do just like the local cross countries, the local, I think it was like the West Yorkshire League cross countries and various things like that. So it was a very like smooth progression and kind of just a normal athletics career. I never really did anything completely out of the ordinary. Like I said, this is the second training camp I've been on. I turned 21 back in May. So
yeah, that does surprise me. I thought you'd been on way more. But touch upon, because you saying you did cross country, but then obviously when I look for your profile and stuff, you were more an 800 meter, almost 400 meter run as well. You had incredible speed. That probably stems from like a football background as well. But
so it was a very classic. My upbringing in running was like a very classic thing of a runner. Like the winter you do cross country, and then the summer you do the track.
Yeah.
So I wasn't actually that bad over the cross. My first English schools when I was under 15, I somehow managed to come 11th. I think at that point I might have still been wearing football boots in some of the races as well. So that one kind of came out of nowhere. But then my last English schools when I was just about to leave school, I came fifth. So it was decent. Yeah. There's a decent, I think it depends on the course a lot. When it gets muddy, I was pretty bad. Bit heavy legs when it came to that. But
no, it does still show. I think a lot of people who do, you're now sort of transitioning to the 15 as well. But I know a lot of people wait 800 meter runners when they're a bit younger, under 17, they sort of just stop doing cross country entirely. And it's interesting that you carried it on.
Yeah, so I did it probably about until I was...
Even under 20, maybe?
Yeah, I think my last cross country race, so I was probably just about to turn 18.
Yeah.
And since then, I haven't done it. Well, actually, after my last cross country, that I didn't race for 2 years.
Yeah, so we were going to actually... Probably, that leads us on nicely. Yeah, we were going to talk about that. What? Because like you say, you won European youths and went to the Commonwealth. What happened in them 2 years? Like 17 and 18?
17 and 18. So yeah. I basically got three big injuries in the space of 12 months. So right. I fractured my right tibia in April 2017. Then,
do you know how?
Overuse.
Really?
Yeah, trying to do too much, pushing too hard, body developing sort of thing. Is that? And then got back from that. That took me about 3 months to get over. And then I joined John. And then I had a freak injury. I fractured my sacrum.
Wow.
Which kept on, like, literally, I finished one session and just couldn't walk. I had no feelings of onset or anything like that. And so that put me out for a while.
They do say that sometimes happens with fractures, doesn't it? Like, you can be fine.
Especially in that area, the shin was one that was boiling up. Yeah. You can feel that. Probably a lot of people have shin splints. I just kind of blocked it out, ran through them. I was like, I'll be all right. Stupid, naive 17-year-old at that point. But, yeah, so I had the sacrum one. And then in May 2018, once I got back from that, I tore my hamstring, which was a grade 3. So it was a pretty, pretty bad tear on that one.
How did you cope with all that then?
I think it was very much like I had really good people around me. Obviously, John's a great guy, and my dad's really been helpful with that sort of thing. Like, and always saying like, okay, if you keep doing these things, you'll get through it eventually and get back to where you need to be. And yeah, it was a really, looking back, it was super hard. Like, I really, really struggled with a lot of it at the time. But looking back now, I've learned so much, and it's helped me be the athlete that I am today. Like, where all the guys in training and John will say, I'm still an idiot when it comes down to it. Like, I'll still push too hard most of the time. But it's helped me learn when I do need to ease off sometimes, and when something's not feeling right, usually just...
I think
cut it straight away and take a couple of days off.
It is interesting you say that, because I know a lot of like 17, 18 year olds, they hit that age, or 16, 17. And like you said, they've had a little bit of success and they almost see what seniors are doing.
Yeah.
Especially now with like the internet stuff, you see what seniors are doing. I want a bit of that. And you start training like them, or you start thinking you have to do so much. And if it's not injury, it's usually just burnout.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I think that's even more the latter. Like, that happens even more common. Then it just burn out. People just completely fatigued, and it just takes them ages to sort of recover. By that time, they've lost interest.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely when I finished, when I had that really good season in 2016, I was...
You just want more.
I was thinking I was invincible. I still think I'm still told, John, I think I'm invincible. But
well, there's the Mills mentality.
Yeah. That's part of it. But yeah, it's just thinking you can take on the world. You're young. You don't really have any preconceptions of what things are going to be like. And yeah, looking back, it was a really important learning phase for me. Obviously, I would probably go back and be like, oh yeah, I'd love to have raced all those things. But I think now, moving into the seniors, it's prepared me well.
It's interesting you say you still have almost that mentality. Obviously, you've got coaches and stuff around you kind of reining you in a little bit. But I also think sometimes people get so damaged from that that they don't have that mentality they once did.
Yeah, it took me a while to get that back.
Yeah.
I was very, for the first season I was racing, so 2019 I raced indoors, I was terrified of tearing my hamstring again.
Really?
Yeah, I was just really nervous about that. Wow. And then kind of coming into that summer season, I wasn't doing as well as I'd want to be. I was being beat by people who I'd beaten a lot as a kid and that sort of thing. And that was tough, so. Yeah, it was been a interesting journey, but yeah, we're in a good place now and enjoying it.
Yeah, you are. It's good to hear that you did sort of bounce back. Like you say, even when you're coming back, you would have been, like you say, you're getting beat by people you once beat before. It does take a certain mindset to be able to just sort of accept that and then just know where you are on your own.
Well, it's easy to say that I was accepting it now, but at the time I was...
Yeah, you weren't.
I was arguing with my dad on the phone after races. I was doing the same with John at race. I was throwing my spikes. I was wasn't dealing with it in the best way. It's easy to laugh about it now, but yeah, it's all part of the learning experience and understanding what's going on if someone else was going through it, I'd advise them. But
I think that's what kept you almost so.
But when it's yourself, it's now. Different, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you've got various emotions involved, and when you want it so much, that's how it goes sometimes.
Did you ever feel like almost a certain level of expectation as well? Was that involved at all, or was it just sort of your pressures?
Yeah. So
and you, or was there?
I think when I was coming back, I had a lot of. I don't think. John was good with me. He was like, mate, when you're coming back, like nobody cares. People are just really happy to see you back.
Yeah.
I almost didn't believe that.
Yeah.
I was thinking, oh no, they're just looking at me. I'm running terrible. Yeah, slower than when I'm 17. Yeah. I was like, what is going on?
Yeah.
So that was an interesting one to deal with. But yeah, listen to your coaches, they're usually right.
Yeah.
That's how it goes. He was right. You know, nobody cares. Yeah. People are just happy to see people running, and yeah.
I do think that's it. Like, athletes will have bad performances and they think the world's watching.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like this, you know, for the most part, like, obviously the level you're getting at now is a lot higher. But like you say, when you were coming back a few years ago, and like, just for listeners out there, like, love me and you, like, we think like the world's watching if we have a bad race.
Mm.
And it's like, no really, grand scheme of things, no one's really watching and no one cares, you know. So
it's not quite as bad. Nobody cares, but I think you put as an athlete. I think because it's such an individual sport, you put a lot of the pressure comes from yourself, wanting to perform and wanting to do the best that you can when you step on the track or whatever sort of race you're doing.
Yeah, let's talk about that relationship with John then, because I think you kind of touched on it quite a lot. How was that then? Because you mentioned you moved over to him like during the injury or?
Yeah, so I just pretty much recovered from my stress fracture in my shin.
Mm.
So I wasn't in a great way. I was really out of shape. I hadn't run for probably about 2-3 months because it was a bad one. I'd ran through it for a while just thinking, oh, it'll go, yeah. Which usually happens with the first injury people. Because you kind of block it out, I'll be okay sort of thing. But yeah, so the first year and a half I had with John, we really didn't, he was basically just trying to get me fit again and get some consistency. So that was our main goal for probably the first 2 years we were together, was literally just stay fit and get some running under my belt, because I had hardly done any of that. But yeah, over the last year and stuff, we've learned about what I need to get myself ready for racing. So it's probably more of taking like a performance twist on it rather than just thinking, okay, can we get this guy back to some sort of consistent training? John's a really great coach. I don't know if you guys know him, but he's probably the perfect sort of coach that I need. As I've probably alluded to already, I'm pretty intense with how I approach training and stuff like that. And he's just like, mate, come on, calm it down, chill out. Like, that sort of thing.
You are, even from just like seeing you around here, like that's the first time I've seen you, I can tell that when you train. Like you're all in on that one aspect. And it's like, and to be fair, that is what, you know, that is what athletes need. But you do hear some athletes are a lot more laid back. But it is like you train and your day is recovery, you know. So did John, it's quite interesting to hear you sort of say John took like a year and a half. So when you went to him, he sort of had a longer vision for you and a longer approach.
Yeah.
As I think sometimes coaches almost be like, right, you've been injured, let's get you back next year. And they would almost rush.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be like, let's look at 2-3 years and let's get you to where you can be.
Yeah, so we did. Obviously, we did try. Originally, we wanted to get back for that 2018 season.
Yeah.
But so many hurdles were thrown in our way. Like, we were gonna race indoors, and then I got that stress fracture in my back, and then tore my hamstring in May. We were going to race and do all those sorts of things. So it was kind of just getting back to it and taking the long-term approach. I think I think Elliot's mentioned it before on a podcast, saying that like John's probably the best coach he'd pick for having getting consistency and longevity. So
he looks at, I know Mark Scott was saying the same, wasn't he, Lumley, the other day?
Just about consistency of training.
When he first went to Jerry as well, the training was slightly different, and you know, he had injuries and hurdles, and it's almost like the coach acknowledges, look, I'll get you to where you need to be in about 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, and it sounds fairly similar with like what's going down with you.
I think it's a lot of everyone in sport, like I'll speak about football a little bit here, but they're always like, expect people to move somewhere and go bang.
Yeah,
they're amazing straight away. But
our football's the same.
That's what I mean. Everyone needs time to adapt to a different training group. Like before I moved to John, I was training on my own, just me and my coach back home, and I've never really been involved in a professional sport environment myself.
Yeah.
I'd seen it because of my dad, but I'd never been involved in it and didn't really understand what it took, especially in running and stuff. Like the sports are different. They've got similar principles, but yeah, it's a big, you've got to take time to learn and understand what's going on.
I think in running as well, as kids, you can almost, you know, physiologically train your body a certain way to whatever you do as a kid. Like if you do more speed and then correcting that, the older you get takes more time.
Yeah.
For example, if you change in training at like 20, you would have done, say you did speed all the way up to you were 20 and then you start going, right, I'm going to do endurance. It would just take maybe 2 years to get that endurance instead of just like switching and having a window of endurance, you could switch easier. But yeah.
So I think that's maybe a good thing looking back. It was maybe me and John had a clean slate.
Yeah.
It's almost like we almost started from square one. Yeah. This guy's really unfit. He's nowhere near where he's
It's almost better because also you haven't got them preconceptions of what you were doing.
Yeah.
Because I think when people change coaches sometimes, they're like, oh, I used to do this session. I know I was in this shape and I'm not doing this. Whereas like your instance, it was like, you know, a year or two of...
But that was hard as well because we were doing different sessions. I mean, sessions are very similar, but...
Yeah,
it was like, okay, I don't really know what I should be running for this sort of thing to know I'm in shape. So I was kind of looking for different sorts of things a lot to get confidence or get a better understanding. And it was like I've said it loads of times, but it was a really, really good learning experience for me. Mm. Like it was tough, but it was looking back, it definitely helped.
Yeah.
This is huge.
Yeah. Isn't it? So you've mentioned obviously John there, and he's kind of at the helm of Brighton Phoenix, but what about the group itself? Because you're surrounded by like numerous other high caliber athletes, and how much has that helped you come on?
Yeah, so that was part of the reason that I joined the group in the first place, just to try and help me make that step up. But yeah, it's a great environment now. Like me, Spencer, Elliot, Kyle, we're training day in, day out with each other. Like when we're doing sessions, I mean we're hitting them hard. Like we don't beat around the bush when it comes to that sort of thing. So yeah, it's intense, but it's a very good group environment. We're all really good mates and get on really well. So yeah, it's a great place to be.
Mm. With that, like, I think Matt and I were mentioning, and again, like we spoke to Mark Scott about this as well. Like, what's it like when you come to race these guys then? Cause you've got like this high caliber group and you're all kind of very similar events. I guess it depends if you move like to the 15 a bit more maybe, but you guys have got to race each other, like potentially racing against each other for British teams as well. Like what's that dynamic like?
So for me, it's a little bit different for me because I'm probably the only 15 guy out of those three.
Mm.
Those three guys are all eight runners. So they've probably answered this differently for me, but yeah, we never have any issues with each other. I think there's a great respect within the group and understanding that we all work really hard and in different ways sometimes, but yeah, everyone gives their all in their own way, and whatever the results come out in a race, then it's kind of you hold your hands up and say fair enough. So I think if you start having issues and like that, it causes rifts in the group, and
then
it's bad for everyone. So
yeah,
I think it's a maturity thing as well. I think
I was about to say it takes like a certain level of maturity to just sort of accept it. But I think also because you guys pretty much train every single day together, don't you?
Yeah.
You see, you know, you're putting in the same work as someone else. So you see like the work being put in. So okay, you know, fair enough. I know he's worked just as hard as I have. So you kind of, like you say, you hold your hands up and you go, fair play, mate. You know, you got it right on the day. And I think a lot of it just comes down to that, doesn't it? Getting it right on
the day. And we'll all admit if we go into a race each other, we want to beat each other.
Yeah.
Like me and Elliot are quite funny, but I think make the other lads laugh. But we turn up to training sometimes like, oh, I'm going to do you in, mate. I've not quite got there yet properly. Sometimes he's a good athlete, but we have good banter with it sort of thing, and it almost makes you train better sometimes. Like there's more on the line. Like say we've got a K time trial or something like that. It's like, I'm gonna do you into it. I'm gonna put you away. And it's purely banter in that sense. Like there's no spite in there involved at all. And I think that's just because we're all decided just to like drop any egos we've got and just commit to training hard together, because we can, at the end of the day, we can help each other improve and get to where we want to be.
Yeah. I mean, we were saying, I think that, you know, that's how it should be. And I'd like to see, I mean, crikey, in the UK, Brighton is pretty much the only, like you say, the only middle distance group there is, which is almost like a professional setup, you know, a professional team. You've got New Balance, but, you know, they're more, you know, marathon. Yeah. But I'd just like to see more of that, you know, dotted around.
There's definitely the talent in the UK for it.
That's what I mean. The depth is getting crazy. You know, just more people working together, and it would just bring the UK on massive in the distance running scene. I think we are getting there, though. I think the next 5 to 10 years is going to be...
Yeah, it'd be interesting. Yeah. There's a lot of young guys coming through as well, and there's going to be some great races.
Mm.
You almost have to, like, looking back to the races from a couple of years ago, you almost have to be a world finalist level to make a team in the UK now.
It's crazy. Yeah,
it's in a good way. I think that's how everyone wants it to be, because competition brings you on and makes you perform at a higher level.
But the goalposts almost just keep moving, don't they? They just keep moving forward. I was going to say, like, you touched upon it a little bit, racing the guys as well. You seem like someone who's a little, like, you get turned on more from racing than time trial. I was looking through your profile a little bit, and you do pick up quite a lot of wins. You say you prefer that side of the sport.
Yeah, 100. No question. Yeah, I love racing. Racing's what I train for.
Yeah,
like that's what I love. I love the competitive side of it. I love the tactical side of it, and it's just a different sort of race. Obviously, everybody loves going out and running hard and seeing how quick they can do. But proper race, like a championship race, is what I train and live for, really.
So you'd be someone who would measure success off wins and stuff over
time? I think it's a bit of both. Because in tactical races, anything can happen. Yeah. If you make a mistake, then the result can be completely different. But I think it's just being aware of what your own markers are and where you and your coach expect you to get to and be at in that year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you had some pretty good tactical races last year in our kind of strange 2020 year, indoors and outdoors, British champs. Like, how were both of those experiences, and kind of did you expect it, really? Like, if I'm okay to ask that.
I didn't expect either, to be honest.
Mm.
Like, I'd say if someone would have told me I'd come away of 2020 with two British titles, and I would have told them at the start of the year, you're having a laugh. Like, I don't believe you, to be honest. So I think indoors, once I saw the start list and sort of thing, I was like, okay, I probably should win this race. But when you go into a race, anything can happen. And if you mess up sometimes, like I've messed up a loads of races really in the past year. So anything can happen in that sort of thing. So yeah, indoors was probably, I went into a bit more confident into that race, like thinking, okay, I'm the favorite. I'm quicker than these guys by about 3 or 4 seconds. If I don't win, then it's probably because I've messed up. But going into the outdoor British champs, I was probably like, okay, I'll be happy with the medal. Yeah. Like, that's what me. Yeah. I was on a call with my dad and John literally the morning of the final, thinking, okay, I think if we could get third place or something like that, that's a really good achievement. Because obviously there's some... Westy was in there, he's around 3:34.
Oh, it was
Gawley's a world finalist. So obviously there was a lot of guys missing, like Jake
Whiteman
wasn't there, Josh Kerr wasn't there, Gricey wasn't there. Yeah. Like these guys are probably like they're the biggest three names probably in British 1500.
You say that, but it'll be interesting to see, like you say, how Westy and Josh Lay improve and yourself improve again this year, because I think, you know, that final may look fairly similar. You know, add Whiteman and like you said, Grice in it, it may look, you know, I don't think it will be too, the result won't be too different, I don't think.
We'll have to see that. I think looking at it, you think there's probably about 10 people who could make the Olympic team in both the 8 and the 15, and you'd probably hold your hands up and be fair enough for everyone. Like, I've not seen depth like that for a long time. It's exciting.
And also, like I was just saying, Ed, it just seems like a lot of people are PBing. A lot of people are on the upward trend. There doesn't seem to be anyone sort of staying still at the moment.
Mm.
You know, Whiteman PB'd last year, and it's just like everyone's just, you're getting quicker, Westy's getting quicker, Lay's getting quicker. When did you think about making that? Because notoriously, you're an 800 meter runner, right? When did you think about changing to 15?
So I think it kind of just happened. Like, right. I said, like, kind of like when I went back to running, it kind of just happened. It was never really a set conversation with John where I was like, okay, we're going to focus on the 15.
Yeah.
I think for me, training for the 8 and the 15 is very similar.
Yeah.
The sort of athlete that I am, what I need for the 8, I need for the 15 and mm-hmm. and vice versa. So there's a lot of overlap in that sense. But it was going back to indoors. We were kind of like, we'd obviously come off a big base phase. We'd been away in Dahlstrom at altitude for 4 weeks. And we were kind of like, okay, yeah, we'll focus on the 15 indoors because we've probably done a bit less speed. But the plan was probably to move to the 8 in the summer.
Yeah.
But the sessions I was doing, the training was going really well. And we were kind of like, okay, yeah, let's do the 15. Let's see what happens. And yeah, kind of, I think I'll stick with the 15 now. I think it's where I'm best. My attributes are best for that race in comparison to the 800 guys, because the 800 is almost a sprint these days. Like those boys are quick.
Yeah, I know. But then you say that the 15's almost getting that way as well. And I do feel like we're seeing more 8:15 runners than, say, 15 3K guys at the moment. It seems to be because of purely championship sort of style races. Like you say, British Champs is going to be so hard to win. Yeah. You're going to need to have.
Well, maybe it'd be harder. I think it'd be hard to make a final.
Well, yeah, that is, yeah, that as well.
It's going to be tough. So everybody, you'd have to just prepare yourself the best and see what happens.
God,
like, mate,
with
regards to that, to be honest, as well, it's always, I think, doing like meddling there, making a team is a big long shot for me.
Yeah,
I think purely because of age and the caliber of athletes who are going into it, like you mentioned, Jake Whiteman, Gricey, whatever, they've run 3:29, 3:30, like that's crazy fast. Josh Kerr, like 3:32. So yeah, there's a lot of guys who are ahead of me in that sense. So it's just about, for me, being best prepared and seeing what I can give on that day.
100%. I guess apart from competing at the trials, then what are your plans for this year, and what's kind of next for you?
So at the moment, we're prepping for indoors.
Mm-hmm.
I'm planning on doing British Champs and trying to earn a spot on the European team. So if that goes ahead, I think there's a decision in the next week or so, or next couple
just
of weeks.
Just to confirm it, is
I
it?
I think so. Yeah. That's what I've heard. But I think there's a decision in the next couple of weeks, maybe, just to see what's going on. And with the ever-changing situation, we're kind of just preparing until if it goes ahead, great. If it doesn't, then we just flip back and go to a less intense style of training, maybe just to...
Is that if British Champs goes ahead yet?
I think all of it.
Yeah.
I
guess they'll just, if Euros gets cancelled, they may just cancel British Champs as well.
So we'll see what happens with that. I think nothing can be a surprise anymore.
Yeah, it's just crazy, isn't it, man?
But then with regards to summer, I think I still need to try. I'd be over the moon if I could run an Olympic qualifying time and then get to the trials, just be in the best position possible for myself and see what I can do. I feel fortunate to be going in there with very little expectations because of the level of athletes that are around me. So I think it's just another great opportunity to learn and, again, put myself against some of the best 1500 meter runners in the world.
Yeah, and there's years to go, isn't there? There's Eugene in 2022, world champs. In fact, this year, like the next 3 years, is going to be, you know, when people look at the schedule, it's going to be so busy. You've got the World Champs next year. You've also got the Commonwealths next year. You've got a Europeans next year. And then, you know, another World Champs and then Olympics in 2024. Yeah. So it's looking ahead as well.
Yeah, so that's always what we always plan long term.
Yeah.
We always have, like, obviously the short term goals and stuff like that, but it's always all about what's in the next four years. Like, when are we looking to try and make our first senior team and that sort of thing. So yes, it's gonna be an interesting journey. I'm excited for it.
Mm.
Yeah. Good stuff. Then I guess just before we finish, we'll just have some like kind of fun sort of questions, I guess. I just wanted to know, like, what do you think the best race distance would be between you and your three kind of main training partners? What would be the closest one?
So we've done a couple before. So we've done a K before, and Elliot came out on top on that. Done a 6, and I came last in that, which was quite funny. But I was there with about 70 to go, and our wheels came off.
Yeah. Really.
Yeah, I slightly overcooked it. But obviously those boys can hold all the quick speed. But I think a group race over a K, a 1200 would be cool. I think a 12 is kind of like midway between the 15 and the 8. A 12 would be
interesting. Yeah.
If there's like we did a couple last year when we didn't know if there's going to be races going ahead. Like we posted the results and that sort of thing. So yeah, I'd like to race those boys over a 12. And we'd all go in backing ourselves for sure. It would be good fun.
Now, how did you find sort of time? Because I know a lot of people were time trialing last summer.
Yeah.
But a lot of people had good successes when they did race. Do you think that would be something? I don't know if you may do it already. But do you think that would be like almost how you approach racing?
Yeah. So I think we've learned a lot from it. But obviously, there's no better. They're great, but they don't feel like a race. You don't get as nervous for it. You don't get as pumped for it. You don't have the travel, the wait time, and you don't have the numbers putting on your bib. So it's not exactly the same, but it definitely is a good stimulus for training and that sort of thing. But yeah, like I was saying, we give each other banter before those sorts of things, saying that I'm gonna do you in whatever. I think me we did one a couple of months ago and on the seafront in Brighton. It was a 5K.
That sounds
grueling. I said to Elliot, loser goes in the sea.
Who won that one?
He did, mate.
Yeah. Oh gosh,
he did. It's good fun, but like exactly like that. It's just making it fun and enjoying it. Because I think if you're enjoying something, then things are going to go well.
Yeah.
Perfect. And then unless you've got anything else to add, Matt, I think.
No, that was pretty much it, really. I was just going to, like, with the time trials and stuff, it is interesting how so many people just running PB. So many people ran PBs this year. And it was surprising considering, people, they may argue they couldn't train properly and stuff like that. So I wonder if, like, the lack of races almost just encouraged people not to, like, waste opportunities. If you like, when they did race, they just wanted to completely get after it.
Yeah.
I think everyone was a lot fresher as well, to be honest. At all levels.
I'd agree with that. I think it was like
I think it was more of a mental.
You had a lot of time. You almost had a lot of time to switch off and just almost think, okay, yeah, I'm gonna train hard, but I'm just gonna get it done. And then all of a sudden you're like, okay, there's some racing's coming. We'll turn it up a bit now, and we don't know what's gonna happen and that sort of thing. So yeah, it was. I think there's definitely a lot you can learn and carry over from last year into the next few years and rest of my career.
I agree.
100%. Well, thanks for coming on, George. I appreciate you giving up your time.
He's been so accessible. Compliments to you, George.
Yeah, don't be silly, man.
It's so easy, pinged him a message. He was so open to do this. So I know a lot of athletes are, and that is one of the beauties of our sport.
Yeah.
Any other sport, you're finding it almost impossible to get hold of athletes who are at such a high level.
Go for the agents.
Want to get hold of them. But in running, they are just so accessible. If like anyone's out there going to races and stuff, you would never mind someone approaching you because so humble.
Totally happy. I tried to, anyone who messaged me on Instagram, whatever, I tried to reply. Asking questions.
Yeah.
I pretty much reply to everyone, even young kids, adults, whatever, just asking questions about running and stuff like that. If somebody's passionate about it, I'm very, very keen to help and help anybody with their journey. So
appreciate that. And I know a lot of people would as well.
Yeah. So if anybody
shout out your Instagram as well.
Shout me a question or whatever on Instagram is GeorgeMills800. So yeah. Hit me up and I'll help you out.
George Mills
59. Yeah, we've been saying that a lot. I've had that handle for probably about 4 or 5 years. Maybe that's what I'm known as on Instagram. So I don't know if it changed.
You can't change it now.
I don't know if I can change it.
I know.
Didn't that? Hulan's the same. She's
it's a sign. It's a sign for all the 59ers to be at it.
Yeah. So yeah, no, that's good fun.